Folks, this segment is brought to us by Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Ultramatic Feeders, and Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, folks, what do you say we load up the old pickup and head down to beautiful Lake Tawakoni? My good buddy Tony Pennybaker is on station down there. Let's check in and see how the blue catfishing's been going. Tony, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, Luke.
Oh, man, good to talk to you. Haven't checked in with you here in a couple of weeks, but I have been looking at your Facebook post, and from all I can tell, it's been a good winter, you know, blue catfishing the past few weeks and actually months, really, right?
It's been going really good. I think we caught more eater catfish in the month of December than I've ever caught. And along with trophies, we've been catching trophies. It's all just kind of been going along pretty good, you know.
Like you'd expect it. Well, you know, I've often mentioned that the trophy season, there's so much emphasis put on trophy blue catfish, especially at Lake Tawakoni. When you mention that, I don't care where I'm at, mention that I fish with you and then sometimes with David Hansen there. You know, how big are they running this year? You know, it's all about the big trophy fish, but I like to catch a big fish like anybody else, but I love to go down there and catch those what we call eater blues that are so tasty in that when you put the cornmeal on them and put them in that skillet, you know?
Yeah, I think people kind of forget or don't really realize how good the eater blueback can be during the winter. And the sizes of them are generally bigger than you catch in spring. You know, we run right now, I think it takes most time about 8 fish, sometimes less, to make a gallon of meat.
Where
that number will go up some in the spring, maybe to 10 or 12 fish per gallon.
Yeah, and
the wintertime bite has really been good far all the way through the winter.
Yeah. Well, let's say we're targeting not so much going out there and fishing the submerged humps and all with big baits, not so much targeting that one or a big bite. Let's say we want to go catch a mess of eater blues. Kind of give us some tips, Tony. Hook size, bait. I know you're going to try to get you some shad if you can, but you know, how are you going to, it might be a day-to-day thing with you, I don't know, but you had told me off the air you've been catching some shallow too.
Yes, I've been finding them in a lot of places I would fish during the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Just going right back and fishing the same spots I would normally fish in April and May. I'm going back and hitting those places. A lot of submerged willows from the drought.
Yep.
They're good. You can pick up some fish around them, some nice sizes. And also way back up in the creeks, you know, in the shallow water, way up in the shallows.
Yeah. By shallow, are you at what depths are we talking?
2-3 foot. You know, I'm going to anchor in 3 foot or 5 foot of water most of the time, you know, when I'm hunting fish in the shallows like that.
Yep.
I do target another way, especially if the winds are really high. I'll get behind a point, and I call it fishing the surf. And I'll tuck in there real close in that still water where I can throw out in that slightly deeper one. Most of them places I can hit some 8 or 10 foot water in a lot of spots. And those fish will be running that. And I just span those hooks out from 2 or 3 foot out far as I can get them. And I've been having some pretty good luck doing that. Especially when the wind's blowing 20, 25 mile an hour, you know, and it's kind of rough out in the open. That works really well.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And size hooks that you're using for our general purpose fishing is what, Tony?
4-aught. Uh-huh. I like a 4-aught offset circle.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter what brand it is. Just a good 4-aught. They're all sharp and 4, not over 5. You know, I just use small chunks of bait. Even if I got big shad, I just cut them down small chunks.
Yep.
Chunk them out.
Yes, sir.
And I have noticed that a lot of times here lately that those fish are hitting drop shot rigs better.
Oh, really? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that puts it right on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got the shorter Santee versions like I use for deep water fishing, but I use shorter ones, you know. I'll shorten them down to some of them about a foot. And I leave some of them out there about 2.5-3 foot long.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll catch some fish too. But I have caught more, seemed like in the last month or so, on the rigs that are closest to the bottom.
You know, Tony, that's a lot like channel catfishing, you know. Blues, though, you know, as a rule, and tell me if you agree with this, but what I've observed through the years, the blue subject to suspend on you a little bit, you know, where at a channel.
Yeah, normally, I mean, it's not normal to catch more on drop shots. There's times when you can't even catch them on drop shots, and you put your 3 foot leader on there and you wear them out.
Yeah.
Same place.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I guess if anybody ever fully gets fish figured out, you know, I know we're not going to. The thing is that I think, Tony, is guys like you that fish all the time, you know, patterns change. And you may be going out there, you know, doing, say, drifting out on a D-pump with a 5 foot Carolina rig type set or Santee rig, I mean. And that pattern may change, and you know. So the thing about it, you've seen enough patterns, and you've developed some of your own through the years that you adapt. You know, you say if this don't work, well, you got six others you can try, really, and that's kind of the way it works, isn't it? You know.
And I do like to fish. Nearly always, when I'm fishing, especially when the wind's pretty stout, I'll nearly always throw those drop shots against the wind because they won't get tangled up. It's a matter of how it lands because your weight's out front and your bait lands out there. The wind's blowing it back, so your bait's dangling behind that weight, you know, kind of moving around there because the wind's blowing your line around.
Yeah.
Whereas a Santee rig, if you throw it against the wind, a lot of times that bobber will bring that bait back around that main line and start twisting it up.
I see, yeah.
And it'll twist it all up there, and you got a mess out there, and even if you do get a fish on there, it'll be a miracle if you can hook him.
Yeah, then you know, too much slack, yep.
Too much slack, you know, in there. So the drop shot always, to me, if it's pretty windy conditions, one or two or three, I might not rig up with one or two, but I'm going to rig them up and chunk them against that wind.
Yep.
And,
well, that makes
pretty
sense.
Pretty much going to be close to the bottom, but when it's that windy, you're going to have that bait just flying all around, and I rig them with about a 3 or 4, but not over, probably about a 3-inch leader.
Yep.
That's about all I put on one of those, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Well, don't take a long one.
Right. Well, Tony, man, I appreciate you giving us these tips and being on the show with me. We've been doing this for several years now. I would like you to connect everybody with you if they want to come out to Tewaukee and catch some catfish. What's the best way to contact you, buddy?
Just give me a call on the cell phone. It's 903-474-3078. You can look me up on Facebook, Thunder Cove Lake Tewaukee Guide, and there's numbers on all my posts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, buddy, thank you a lot. I hope to get out there. I've been so busy gallivanting around hunting here this fall that haven't been out there, but hopefully pretty soon we can get together, you know.
We need to get out there and go hunt some of them fish. I think we can catch some big ones in a couple of places I was thinking about. And maybe, you know, the weather's kind of going to be rainy this week, but I don't know how rainy.
Folks, for the past 12 years, I have used my Smoking Tex electric smoker to cook literally hundreds of pounds of game meat and domestic meat. I've made sausage jerky, cooked wild hog hams with them. They are absolutely awesome, and they're built to last. You can go to SmokinTex, SmokinTex.com, and check out their line of smokers. There's different models, bigger ones and littler ones, depending on your needs. Or you can call Diz or Scott at 888-922-1511. Folks, I'd like to hook you up with Butcher Packer Supply. This company has everything you need for making jerky, sausage, curing meats at home, anything to do with home butchering. You can go online to butcher-packer, that's butcher-packer.com, and order everything that you need right there online.